Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Girivada Dari, Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivada Dari, Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivada Dari, Gopi Janavalabha Girivada Dari, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jananjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jananjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Janananjana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Tira Vanachari, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Radha Madhava. Thank you. Kunjabihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Itai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Shishi Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Govinda Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Chota Radhakala Chanji Ki Jai, Shishi Gorni Tai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Lord Nrisimhadev Ki Jai, Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text Number 25. Text 25. Vanaprastasrama padeshu. Vanaprastasrama padeshu. Abhikshnam bhakshyam acharyat. Abhikshnam bhakshyam acharyat. Samsidyati asu asmodaha. Samsidyati asu asamodaha. Sudasattva silandasya. Sudasattva silandasya. Vanaprasrama padeshu. Abhikshnam bhakshyam acharet. Samsidyati asu ashmoha. Sudasattva silandasya. Vanaprastashrama padeshu. Abhikshnam bhakshyam acharet. Samsidhi asu asmodaha. Sudasattva silandasya. Word for word. Vanaprastashrama. Excuse me, of the Vanaprast order of life. Padeshu, in the position. Abhikshnam, always. Bhakshyam, begging. Acharya, one should perform. Samsidyati, one becomes spiritually perfect. Asu, quickly. Asmoda, free from illusion. Suda, purified. Sattva, existence. Sila, obtained by begging or gleaning. Andasya, by food. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Excuse me. Translation. One in the Vanaprast order of life should always practice taking charity from others. For one is thereby freed from illusion and quickly becomes perfect in spiritual life. Indeed, one who subsists on food grains obtained in such a humble manner purifies his existence. You want to repeat? One in the Vanaprast order of life should always practice taking charity from others. For one is thereby freed from illusion and quickly becomes perfect in spiritual life. Indeed, one who subsists on food grains obtained in such a humble manner purifies his existence. Excuse me. Translation again. One in the vanaprast order of life should always practice taking charity from others, for one is thereby freed from illusion and quickly becomes perfect in spiritual life. Indeed, one who subsists on food grains obtained in such a humble manner purifies his existence. Purport. In the Western countries, people are generally so dull that they cannot distinguish between a saintly beggar and an ordinary hobo or hippie. A saintly beggar is constantly engaged in authorized devotional service to the Supreme Lord and accepts only what he requires for his bare maintenance. The author of this book remembers entering the Krishna Conscious Society as an arrogant university student and being quickly humbled by the process of begging on the street on behalf of Krishna. This process is not theoretical, but actually purifies one's existence by forcing one to offer respect to all others. Unless one offers respect to others, one's begging will be fruitless. Also, by begging, one will not often eat very sumptuously. This is good, because when the tongue is controlled, the other senses are quickly pacified. Excuse me. Pardon me. A vanaprast should never give up the purifying process of begging for his food. And ordinary people should not foolishly equate a lazy bum living at the cost of others with a saintly beggar engaged in higher duties for the Supreme Lord. Om Agana Timananda Shya Jananjanan Salakaya Chakshuru Unmilitam Jena Tasma Shri Guru Venamha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances in the dust of his lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Tamakrishna Goswami Dinamani. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamani. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunavari Pashkatadisha Tarine Vanchakalpatrubhascha Kripa Sindhavasevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text 25. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in or for being here listening. Thank you very much. The chapter is entitled Description of Varnashram Dharma. And we're hearing from Lord Krishna. He's speaking to Uddhava. And he's speaking some very detailed instructions on vanaprast, on the various different orders of society. And these are natural inclinations that we all have to do certain things. And some of us are born with certain qualities which make us more suited to certain activities in the material world. And it's important that we follow those inclinations. And these inclinations do not make us unequal. They are simply that which we should put ourselves to. The different professions that we can do, Sudra, Vaishya, sannyas, grahastha and brahmachari. Yeah, these positions are very important for us to be involved in, to go with our inclination. First, we see, are we more brahminical? All children should be raised brahminically. And then a small number of those children will remain that way throughout their life. Others need to enter grahastha ashram because they have desires to be businessmen, business ladies, to do work of a nature that can be offered to Krishna. Everything can be done in Krishna's service. And the goal is to do those things based on your particular mental and physical inclinations. And it's not determined simply by what family you're born into or what part of the world you're born into. That means you're a Brahmin if you're born in this family or born in that area. Or you're a Sudra if you're born here or born there. No. Someone who is born to a working class family, some child might have a predisposition to be very brahminical and be very spiritually minded, and can handle the priestly duties all their life, which is not easy. The duties of vanaprast, of sannyas, of brahmacharya are reserved for the most dedicated and the most able to control their senses because of their particular birth. We all have to control ourselves, but different ashrams afford different levels of sense enjoyment. Most ashrams prohibit any association between men and women. Only in grahastha ashram is there allowed to be any mixing of male and female for the purpose of procreation, having children, and raising those children in Krishna consciousness. So after some time, actually the really good thing about all these varnas and ashramas is that they are all equally good for pursuing Krishna consciousness. In whatever situation you find yourself in, you can do Krishna conscious activities. You can be Krishna conscious. And the duties of that you find yourself that are imposed upon you, the duties that you find yourself having to take up in any position in life, can be done instantly and immediately as an offering to Krishna. Obviously, sinful activity, a very grossly sinful activity, it is not offerable to Krishna. It's a sign that someone is very much overwhelmed by the modes of material nature, and such a person is in need of this knowledge. And by attaining this knowledge, even a little bit of this knowledge, it can protect us from the greatest fear. What's the greatest fear? That we'll become void, that we'll become nothing, that when we die, that's it. There's nothing else. And a lot of people really believe this. They really believe that this one life and I'm out. And this is just patently foolish. It's a denial of our very existence as a spirit soul, as an eternal spirit soul. And everyone feels it. You know that you're a conscious, sentient being. And you are much more than your body, because your thoughts, even just your thoughts, are so much more than the body. But go deeper. What is behind your thoughts? Your intelligence and your consciousness, your very consciousness itself, can be sensed. It can be felt. And the presence of the soul, the fact that you are a soul, can be sensed when you meditate, you study, you read scriptures, you begin to understand. There's so many things that are the same in all scriptures. And that is that we have an afterlife, that we are spirit soul, that we are going to go somewhere after we die, because our bodies are temporary and our souls are permanent. So where are we going to go when we die? If you do not ask this question, then you're really not a spiritual seeker, right? You're not ready yet. You haven't come to the point where you need this knowledge. some people are very satisfied, or so they think they are, with material enjoyment, but they're not happy. But they may try to deny there's anything more. But I think everyone knows in their heart, even if they're a dedicated atheist, what if God does exist? You know, and there must be something that started all this and put all these things in place. It didn't just come from nothing. You don't get nothing from nothing. So it's patently ridiculous to deny God's existence. But so many still do. So it's our job to tell them about Krishna, to tell them about soul in very basic ways. We don't go into details about Krishna's pastimes right away when we're preaching to new people. We tell them, you're a spirit soul. You're not your body. And God has ordered society in such a way, a very wonderful order called Varnashram Dharma. And it is a divine method of ordering society in a special way so that there will not be chaos like we have today. There will not be so much discord and disharmony. There can, if we can follow Varnashram Dharma even in a small way, if more people can become vegetarian, even if they don't take up Krishna consciousness, even if they just follow Varnashram Dharma, the society, the world, can be so much nicer. Instead, we have massive pollution, massive lack of nutritious food. The food that's being grown today, it's chemically engineered, genetically modified. It's they're growing the exact same plants over and over again, and they're susceptible to disease. The rich variety of the horticulture of the earth has been denied. It's not being taken advantage of. They have the seeds, but nobody's growing them. No one's utilizing them to make heartier, stronger strains. Instead, you have this endless monopolistic tendency, this profit motive, this greed. It's just raw greed of the strong to make money from the rich by hook or by crook. And so we're beginning to see the really horrible effects of that worldwide now. And we have so many sudras acting as leaders, very low-class men in positions of authority in the world. And this is just causing really serious problems for the world. But it doesn't matter. What? It doesn't matter? No, it doesn't matter. Wherever you find yourself, whatever situation you find yourself in, you can be Krishna conscious. You can learn from that situation. And in fact, all the situations Krishna is putting you in are for you to learn from. Krishna wants us to get out of this material world. But we do not understand things fully yet. So Krishna has to help us. Sometimes that help takes the form of difficulties. But the difficulties are there to make us struggle and push ourselves to get off the comfort zone, get off the comfortable couch, get out of the comfortable bed, get out of the comfortable sense-enjoying lifestyle, and begin to live your life in a way that you focus on Krishna, which is basically the path of tapasya, austerities. These aren't severe austerities. We don't have to sit in a fire in summer or get in a cold lake in winter, although those things are recommended by Krishna in these chapters. But it's for devotees that have attained a higher state and are really actually getting down to the nitty-gritty of the body-soul connection. And they're overcoming all sorts of bodily needs, and even the need to breathe can be controlled. So this is available to some persons that are that in that way, that are attracted to that. But it's really not the way for devotees. We don't want, for Hare Krishna devotees, for bhaktas of Krishna, we want to develop the yoga of bhakti, of devotion to Krishna, not develop not just do tapasya, severe austerities, just for the sake of saying I did it, or I have now I will have mystic powers. No. We engage in austerity in order to perfect ourselves as spirit souls, to understand our nature as a spirit soul by chanting Hare Krishna early in the morning, by rising early, going to Mangalarti, attending the program, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the Bhagavad Gita, associating with devotees, honoring only Krishna Prasad, only eating that food which is offered to Krishna. These things will help make us Krishna conscious. And they are austerities, but they're not that difficult. And they're a lot easier when you do them with someone else. Then they can encourage you. And this encouragement is the whole basis of the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is here on this planet because Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring like-minded persons together. He knew that souls were calling out to him throughout the world, were calling out to Krishna and saying, please, please bring us this knowledge. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, I believe, came to Srila Prabhupada in a dream before Srila Prabhupada came to the United States, and he said, there are souls begging for you to come. They're suffering. They're crying out to you. Please come. Give us this knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada knew this. He knew that Krishna's plan was there was someone in other countries besides India that wanted this knowledge, that wanted Krishna consciousness. They were had taken birth sometimes in very rich circumstances, in very comfortable circumstances, but they were still miserable because they were devotees and they were waiting for Srila Prabhupada to bring them this Hare Krishna movement from India to the West and to the whole world. And now it's spread throughout the world. And this is an astonishing accomplishment. And we're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada. And the Hare Krishna movie is going to be on Monday night at the Angelica Theater in Dallas near SMU. Excuse me. So please come to that. Nice opportunity to be with devotees and see the beautiful film of Srila Prabhupada and what he did and how he did it. It's a very amazing and wonderful film. I'm going to go see it for the second time. And it's a testament to the remarkable feat, to the remarkable empowerment of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada never took any credit for anything he ever did, except for one thing. And he said that was that I never changed anything. I never changed. I just tried to do what my spiritual master told me to do. And I conveyed Krishna as I've heard him, as Krishna helped me to do. Krishna, we know Krishna helped Srila Prabhupada personally to write these purports. He dictated to Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Prabhupada is the via media. He's our link to Krishna. Excuse me. The necessity of a guru is so clear. We all know it. We know we need it. We all have gurus, many of us, but are we following the instructions? Are we getting the full mercy of our spiritual master the way Srila Prabhupada received the full benefit and mercy from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? So much so that Srila Prabhupada was called Srila Prabhupada, because that was the honorific title that had also been given to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada said, I should not say this, but I have inherited my spiritual master's wealth and estate, which was preaching to the whole world, pure Krishna consciousness. And so part of this Krishna consciousness are these orders of life, vanaprast orders of life. And the vanaprast order is being discussed by Krishna in this text. And I remember when I was first joined the movement, I was a brahmachari. I wanted to be a brahmachari. I wanted to put on orange. I didn't want to get married. My spiritual master said, no, it'd be better for you to get married. You're a householder. You have to associate with women in your job. just get married. Will you do that? I said, sure. Yesterday, I will get married. But inside, I fought it. I didn't want to get married right away. I knew that I would marry one day. But I sort of wanted to have some time to travel and be a brahmachari. I think my spiritual master understood that. So despite the fact that I fought a little bit to get married right away, it was nice that I got some time to travel. And after a while, though, it became untenable. It was an untenable position. I couldn't maintain it because you have a house, you have a job, you need to have a wife. And I'll never forget Urjaswat Prabhu, his grace. Urjaswat Prabhu ki jai. Urjaswat Prabhu's left his body, but we still remember him and honor him, his memory, by repeating what things he said. And one time he told me, he said, there's no bachelor ashram, Dharma. There's no bachelor ashram. If you have a house and you're a vanaprast, get a Griha Lakshmi, get a wife. And when I did, everything became incredibly blessed and better and improved in my life. Lakshmi comes into the house literally, figuratively, symbolically, and materially. It does happen. You bring a wife into the house, not only and you see your wife only as the servant of Krishna, as the servant of Lord Vishnu, never as your maidservant. Then so many nice things happen. So many things nice things can happen. Money comes into the family more, greater. Opulences are there. Calmness of the mind will come. Your mind will be calmed. You will have a companion. So nice to be married. So nice to have a companion. In life, when we have friends and we have acquaintances, so easily how those relationships break down, don't they? You're blowing and going along, oh, I have this friend, I have that friend, and one day, where are they? Where did they go? I look around and where are all these people I used to know and used to, so they're gone. Even amongst devotees it can happen. Devotees move on, they move to different places, they leave their bodies. They are going back home, back to Godhead. It's happening all around us. People are leaving their bodies, but we just don't believe it. It's going to happen to us. So it's very important that we get in the right ashram. We practice Varnashram Dharma. I wasn't doing that, and I was fighting it. And finally, I said to my spiritual master, I need to be married. He said, yes, I'm glad you finally realized that again. And, you know, this time, will you be serious? Will you seriously try? And I said, yes. So he helped me right before he left the planet. And then I got into the correct ashram. And so if you find yourself, you know, to win the race, you have to be in the race. You have to enter the race. You have to be in the right place. If you're going to do the 100-yard dash, you don't go to the marathon area. No, you go to the right place. In Grihastha ashram is like that. You don't go to Brahmachari ashram if you're a Grihastha. Get a wife and execute the ashram correctly. If you do that, oh, things are so nice in Krishna consciousness. Krishna blesses you. He helps you. You have these things which will help you. A wife is incredibly valuable. A Krishna conscious wife, a devotee wife, is very valuable and very rare, very rarely achieved. And if someone has a Vaishnava for a wife, he must always see her as Krishna's servant, as the servant of Vishnu, as a Lakshmi serving Krishna, and never, ever see her as his maidservant. She's not there to serve the husband. She's there to serve Krishna, and you're there to help her serve Krishna. You're there to pursue Krishna consciousness as a family, to have children, to procreate and bring up those children nicely in Krishna consciousness. And when you do that, Krishna is so pleased, and Krishna will bless you unlimitedly. And it's not merely because of your karma. That's part of it, but Krishna mitigates your karma. He changes your karma. Krishna can give you so much more than your karma had in store for you. You know, it's not just a matter of, oh, I was going to get that anyway. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. But if you do it for Krishna, Krishna lavishes so much more on you, so much more intelligence, to do the right thing, to understand your situation, to pursue Krishna consciousness nicely. So I keep getting off track. I apologize for that. I'm trying to get to vanaprast order. The vanaprast order we take after grihastha ashram. And so Lord Sri Krishna is speaking about that for a vanaprast, they should take charity from others, right? The three ashramas, brahmacharya, sannyas, and vanaprast, they get to take charity from the grihasthas. And sudra, vaishya, grihastha, whatever, they give in charity to the other three orders. Excuse me. And in doing so, they make advancement. They have to support the leaders that are the brahmacharis, that are the sannyasis. And many of those persons are leaders in our movement, and they travel and they come visit, right? So what do? We give them some dakshin. We give them a donation. And this is what's referred to here in this, that they beg. They don't come up to us and beg with a bowl, you know, I need a check, I need some money to get to the next location. But literally that's what's happening. We're giving to them, we understand the system. The system is that they come and visit us and they enlighten us with a good class instead of what you have to hear today. I'm sorry about that. They come and they give class. They associate with us. They're advanced devotees. Some are sannyasis. Some are vanaprast. Some are brahmacharis. And they lecture and they associate with us. And they enliven us because we associate with them. And what do we do in return? What do we give in return? We give our hard-earned money to them, to support them. This is what is referred to here. When such a person lives this way, right? When they're a sannyasi and they don't try to hoard money, they get dakshin and they keep that dakshin and they use it to travel and they use it to pursue Krishna consciousness and to give Krishna consciousness to others. And so Krishna gives them what they need, doesn't he? He gives them all that they need. They can travel. They have money to do the things they need to do, to dress appropriately. They don't have to dress in rags. They don't have to dress, in such a way to make it seem like they're doing all this artificial tapas. And so they're just, you know, skin and bone and they're wearing loincloth. No, they're not. They're healthy in mind, body, and soul. And when you see them, they glow, right? Sometimes they're effulgent. They're effulgent personalities. And they're living this way. And Krishna says, when you live this way, by accepting the offerings of the devotees, we cook for these persons. These persons accept so much nice, prasadam. They accept a place to stay. They accept room and board. They accept Lakshmi so they can travel. And in doing this, they're not living off the movement. They're not living off the grihasthas to enjoy themselves. They're living off these persons, us, to spread Krishna consciousness. And then we get the benefit if we support them. And then their benefit comes from living that way. Krishna is telling us that by them living that way, it's very purifying for them. Because all they have to do is Krishna, is think of Krishna, prepare to give Krishna to others. And they're masterful at it, aren't they? Like, you'll come and you'll see a really advanced devotee, and they'll ask a question, someone will ask a question, and they answer at a level that's a million times higher than what I would have said, right? Isn't it amazing? Like, you never know what you're going to hear, but you know you're going to hear something that is incredible. And it is, it's a crucible. They've taken Krishna consciousness, all they've learned in their heart and their mind in a crucible, and they've mashed it into these tiny, like a big giant crusher rock, right? And it crushes all the stone. What happens under pressure when stone is under high pressure and, you know, billions of pounds of force? It turns into a diamond. It turns into a ruby or an emerald. And these precious gemstones are what the devotees give when they speak about Krishna. They're gem-like realizations of Krishna. And they have come from maybe, you know, thousands of births, hundreds of lifetimes And at least in this lifetime, many years spent chanting, reading, understanding Krishna. And they give you their understanding in a way that you can, goes in your ear and goes in your heart and you can understand. And so this is what Vanaprast is for. And this is what sannyas is for. And brahmacharya, that the devotees that can do that at that high level, they're able to give us Krishna consciousness in an understandable way. The benefit of them having gone through so many difficulties, right, and come through it, and here's their realization. Wow, I'm going through those difficulties right now. And some person can tell me something that can help me unbelievably, right? Just because of their advancement. So that's why we give to these persons. It's a spiritual principle that Krishna's created, part of the Varnashram system. We must give charity to these persons. We must give dakshin to our gurus, our Guru Maharaj, our Shiksha gurus, our Diksha guru. We must give dakshin to them. This is the principle. Not only are they supposed to beg, well, they're not going to go out on the street and beg. I mean, you know, that's not how it works. Prabhupada set it up differently. Krishna set it up differently. That in this modern time, in our times, sannyasis travel. They travel by car, bus, train, airplane, ship. They don't walk everywhere without shoes. They wear shoes. What's wrong with that? They have to have clothes. They go to nice places. They go preach to people who have lots and lots of money. They can't go in a ghastly appearance with dreaded matlocks, you know, not matlock, dreaded dreadlocks, matted hair, and never washing or bathing and having crusts of you know, dirt all over them. That kind of preaching is there, and sometimes it's done. And sometimes an aesthetic may want to live that way, and there's nothing wrong with that. Krishna says they can. But for our purpose, we're purpose of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, we're supposed to present ourselves nicely. And you can dress nicely in a dhoti and kurta. You can look really nice if you take care of your cloth nicely. If you buy nice cloth, right? Yeah, if you go and you don't iron your dhotis and you just, you know, they get frayed and they get holes in them and they look old, and you try to wear that and go out to a nice place, yeah, it looks like a bed sheet. But if you take care of your cloth when it's new, it doesn't look like a bed sheet, right? If you tie it properly, it looks nice. If you wear a nice dhoti, a nice kurta with it, it covers and it looks very nice. And Srila Prabhupada said, when I see young men and women dressed like this, I feel like I'm in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. This is how people dress in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to dress that way. Do we have to dress that way every day? No. Sometimes we dress in Western clothes, but we should look nice. You know, we should look nice. We shouldn't wear shorts and sandals if we're going somewhere nice, or we're going to a nice event, or going to something with devotees. Okay, if you're outside and you're with devotees and it's a picnic, wear shorts and sandals. But if you're coming to the temple, shorts and sandals, I mean, okay, if you, you know, for not for the morning program, wear something nice. At least wear some trousers, right? Wear some pants. You know, put on something. Look a little bit nicer. Wear a golf shirt at least, you know. Put on tilak. I don't want to wear a dhoti today. Fine, don't wear a dhoti. Don't wear a dhoti. If you never want to wear a dhoti, don't wear a dhoti. But come to the temple looking nice. Present yourself nicely. Keep yourself clean and nice. It's easy to fall into a trap and think, I don't need all these things. I can still be Krishna conscious. But it's so much nicer and so much better if you do use these things in Krishna's service. It helps. If I'm wearing a dhoti and kurta and I go out, I know my mind's a lot more sanctified and I'm thinking a lot more Krishna, because I'm now a representative. People know, why are you dressed like that? You know, I'm a Hare Krishna. This is how Hare Krishna dresses. It's a dhoti and a kurta. It's a traditional dress from India. Most people in India do not wear this anymore. They wear trousers. Men wear pants now. But in the old days, everyone wore dhoti, kurta. And it looks better. It looks nicer when it's done properly. And so we shouldn't fault the movement when certain members cannot put on clothing nicely, don't even know how to make it look nice, or default to a position of just wearing old stuff. Well, I can't afford a new dhoti. I can't, you know, come on. It's not that expensive. Ask, beg, right? Beg for a nice dhoti and kurta. You'll get one. Krishna can do that for you. So we're not lazy bums living at the cost of society. The leaders of our movement, the brahmacharis, the vanaprast. If a vanaprast comes to our temple, we don't say, you're a lazy bum. We don't want you to stay here. No, we provide them a nice place to stay. We provide her a nice place to stay. They give us Krishna consciousness in a powerful, power-packed form. You know, like a vitamin. You know, some people are into nutrition, so they get vitamins that have all these different substances, food, good organic food, minerals and things from food that have been, you know, desiccated and decimated and made small, and then they put it all together. So in a little tiny vitamin, there's like 1,000 different things, right? There's all these different ingredients. You take that, it's good for the body, it goes throughout the body and it helps the body. That's what these vanaprast and sannyasis give us. Concentrated, pure Krishna realizations. Pure Krishna consciousness in such a way that it enlivens us. Oh, wow. Now I remember why I was so excited about Krishna consciousness. This is exciting. I'm hearing from this person. I'm excited again. When Ikshvaku Prabhu came from Mayapur Dham and he gave a seminar on counseling, and he came and he gave classes and he gave lectures, and he put himself out for others to help them, that they could help others. He gave all of what he had in himself, his realizations at every moment. He was trying his best to answer and give to others. This is Krishna consciousness. And when you meet someone like that, it's infectious. It's enlivening. It makes you happy because you're getting, they're giving so much. They're giving so much more than they even have because they're just a via media of Krishna's mercy, a via media of Krishna's love and understanding. The knowledge is passing through them and Krishna's literally telling them what to say sometimes. We don't know it, but Krishna can do that. Krishna does that. And so what happens? We become enthused. I became enthused again to go to Sri Dham Mayapur because he is there. Devotees like that are in Mayapur. Sometimes it's easy to get to forget that. We think it's just a collection of buildings. It's a bunch of temples. It's a bunch of crazy people. I don't mean the devotees are crazy, but sometimes the things that are happening in India seem crazy. They seem dangerous. Oh, I don't want to go to India. The traffic, the car wrecks. Yes, there's danger everywhere. There's just as much danger in the United States as there is in India. You walk out of the temple, you're in danger wherever you go. A tree could fall on your head, an airplane could drop on you. Just as much likely as you could get hurt in India in a car wreck or any other thing. Or some gundas rob you, can happen here just as much. So if you lose faith in the potency of the dhams and you think it's dangerous to go there, you don't want to go there anymore. You say there's just too much problem, too much this, where to stay, da da, and then you're cutting your throat. You're cutting yourself off. Instead, what happens is you meet devotees that go to the holy places, that live in the holy places, and if you go to the holy places to associate with them and not just to see the sights or to bathe in the holy places, that's not the point. The point is to meet the holy persons that live in the holy places and to hear from them submissively and to become purified by the overall experience. Yes, it is still beneficial to bathe in the holy places. It's still beneficial to be in Vrindavan but when you're there, you have to be pursuing Krishna consciousness. You have to be chanting your rounds, following the principles. If you don't, you will get sick. You go into Vrindavan and you try to be a sense enjoyer. It is not tolerated. The Dham will not tolerate it. You will get sick. You will get instant purification. The Dham will lay you out. You're not here to enjoy yourself. You're here for tapasya. And if you don't want any voluntary tapasya, the Dham will give you tapasya. The first time I ever went to India, I got sick within hours of being there. bad head cold, bad chest cold, bad this, having to sleep a lot, having to rest the body to get it healthy again. And so this is how the spiritual principles that are behind the things we're doing, they're not just things we're doing. They are actually things, they're spiritual principles behind everything that Krishna has arranged for us to do things, how we get along with each other, how we pursue Krishna consciousness. It is spiritual. It is not just chance and chaos and difficulty. Those things are there to make us want Krishna more than we want material sense enjoyment. And it is our duty to support. If you're making money and you're not giving money to the temple, you're just blowing it, because you have to purify that activity. You have to purify your efforts, because sometimes you're going to make offenses. You're going to do karmic things that will get you bad karma. And if you don't give some of your income to Krishna, then that is just, it becomes a karmic thing. Well, say Krishna's mitigating my karma. Yes, we don't know how much that karma you're going to get, but why take a chance? Why not just follow the scriptural instructions and support? If you don't want to give the money to the temple, give it to a saintly person, give it to a devotee, give it to a vanaprast or sannyasi, and support them in their Krishna consciousness. But it would be nice if devotees supported the temple too, right? So many devotees come, so many nice feasts, so many nice festivals. Please, give some of your money, give some of your income. Even if it's just the selfish, so that you'll get something back, right? So that you'll get some bhakti back from Krishna. It's not like that. It's not a quid pro quo. You know, you don't get what you give. Actually, you get billions of times more than you give. But we're not giving because we want wealth. We don't want more wealth in return. We all want to be comfortable, right? Krishna assures us of that. So just be happy to be comfortable and let Krishna bless you. But with the blessings of what he really wants to give you, which is love for him. He wants us to have love for Krishna. And if we don't start loving each other, if we're not nicer to each other, it's not working out. You know, he's going to have to do things to make it clear to us, oh, hey, this is how I'm supposed to treat the devotees. This is how you say something nicely to someone and not go around with a sense of, I'm the controller. I know what the temple needs. I know what to do here. That happened to me when I first came. I thought, I have to have my finger in every pie. I got to see what's happening in all different areas of the temple. I got to help out because I'm so smart. I can really make a difference here. And what I found out in being here for 22 years is that, yes, it's important that we give our energy and our time and our love to the temple. But we do so under the auspices of the leadership, because those persons felt the same way we did, and they've learned, oh, wait a minute, there's a proper way to do this. There's a proper way to be leaders. And there's so much need for leadership at our temple. There's so many things to do. If you just start doing things by default, practically that makes you a leader. Just come and do service. And there's so much to be done. And so Krishna consciousness is really there to help us when we go a little astray. When we're not perfect yet, we're not fully Krishna conscious yet. But if we follow these procedures, these bhakti principles, chanting, following the principles, living our lives with devotees, honoring Krishna Prasad, we will make advancement, and Krishna will help us to understand who we are in relationship to him. Isn't that the ultimate question and what everybody wants to know? Everybody wants to know, who am I really in the spiritual world? I'm a spirit soul, but what am I, just bright light? Am I just a effulgent blip of light? No. You actually have a spiritual, eternal spiritual form. An eternal spiritual form. That's amazing. And not only is it's amazing that Krishna will reveal it to you. The spiritual master will reveal it to you as you prosecute Krishna consciousness nicely. As you begin to make serious advancement and purification in Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master will reveal what is your eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is one of the goals that we have. And there's lots of little goals. There's little things we have to do to get the big goal. We don't get to the big thing right away. You know, we don't put the horse behind the apple cart. We put the horse in front of the apple cart because that's how you hitch him on so that he can pull the cart. If you put a horse behind a cart, he can't push it. His neck is not made to push things like that. He can't put his head down and push it. He might for a little ways, but it's really not going to work. So don't put the apple cart before the horse. Put the horse first. That means we don't put who we don't want to make, try to think, oh, I want to know who I am right now. I want my Siddha Pranali. I want my Siddha Deha. Let me tell me now. No, our movement doesn't do that. We don't tell the advanced devotees, don't tell the neophytes who they are in Krishna consciousness in the beginning. It comes later. Otherwise, they can't grow into it. They can't, it's not, you know, it doesn't work in this age. It's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to prosecute Krishna consciousness in such a way that Krishna notices you. That Krishna notices it. You know, work now, samadhi later. So, that's some of my thoughts from this verse, that, this wonderful order that Krishna has given to society, how everything should be ordered properly. And if we place ourselves in this orders of society, and we take actions in these orders that are suitable for the varna and ashram that we find ourselves in, Krishna is pleased. We will make spiritual advancement. And in fact, we can't make spiritual advancement if we're not doing that. So that's some comments I had, and it's getting late, so we'll say Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.